Morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the presentation of Telenor's results for the third quarter of 2010. Whether you are present here at our headquarters, listening on the phone, or watching this over the internet or on a mobile phone. My name is Scott Engebrigtsen, and I have the pleasure of guiding you through this morning's presentation. First, as part of our security procedure, I'd just like to inform you briefly about the emergency exits from this room. In addition to the doors you entered into this morning, you will find emergency exits at the back of the room and also at the bottom of the stairs on your right-hand side. We hope that everyone has the material that we've made available this morning. That would be our quarterly report, the press release, and a copy of the presentation to be used here in a minute. You will also find this on our website, telenor.com. You can also watch this presentation live or in recording on the internet or on a mobile phone. If you are following this over the internet, you may also send in your written questions during this transmission. You'll find the information on this from our website as well. As usual, we will have a Q&A session directly after the presentations here. We will start with the audience present. We will continue with the ones participating on the phone. Finally, we give the opportunity to do individual interviews. To present the figures today, we have our CEO, Mr. Jon Fredrik Baksaas, and our CFO, Mr. Richard Aa. First, I'll leave the floor to you, Fredrik.
Yeah, good morning to all of you. I can see that in this room here today, because of the weather maybe, there isn't that many people. That means that we need to address to the net, because that's probably where people are. You're most welcome. I'm very pleased to report the third quarter of 2010, of course. We have, as we believe, a very good set of figures here. We're happy to note that the trend that we saw after the first half of this year has continued into the third quarter. We have, at group level, a revenue growth figure of 6%. This is at par with what we had in the second quarter, really. It's driven once again by the growth figures that we get from the Asian operations. We see, in fact, 16% growth in Asia, India included, and 13% in the established operations, the four established operations. We consider these as very strong figures, underlining the fact that the economic drive after the financial crisis is being engined by the Asian region for the time being. We've added 7 million subscribers through this quarter, a strong figure, we believe, 4 million in India, 2.2 million really in Bangladesh, and 300,000 in Thailand. All these growth figures again underline the growth dimension that comes from Asia. We also have a very strong cash flow figure in the group this quarter, which comes from the balance between OpEx focus and CapEx efficiency. 5.6 billion in one quarter is almost record high in Telenor. We've been higher up that figure before if we included the pro forma consolidation back in 2008 for Kyivstar included. Having said this, and with these good figures that we see after both first half and second, and this third quarter, we are also able to revise our outlook for the year slightly upwards on the key parameters. Richard will come back to that a little bit later. Let me then move over to the operating units. As usual, I start in the Nordics. Once again, we can say that we are on the safe side of the 10 billion cash flow figures that we have set as our target. We are starting on the network swaps and the network modernizations in the Scandinavian countries, and the capex associated with that will grow slightly. And there might be quarters that we will be below 10 billion, but the overall long-term goal is to stay behind the 10 billion cash flow in the three Scandinavian markets. There is a steady underlying data growth coming from the extended usage of the smaller handsets, as well as data usage in general. But the drivers are the smartphones. And the penetration of smartphones has now reached, as we estimate, roughly 30%, 30% plus in the handset population in Norway. And really, as much as 60 to 70% of all handsets sold for the time being are considered as being smartphones. Here we are then in the midst of the trend that we do believe that the communication markets will be known for, both here in Scandinavia, Europe, and Asia for that matter. In Norway, though, we have seen in this quarter, fixed and mobile together, a slight decrease in the reported figure. We have the steady 4% decline in fixed line revenues also this quarter, and with only a 2% growth in the mobile side, we do not fully compensate for that as we did in the second quarter. It's primarily under the international roaming and a price pressure dimension coming into the corporate segment in Norway that explains why we haven't been able to take that compensation from the mobile side up against the decline in fixed in this quarter. We have addressed this by revising our service offering this autumn, and we do expect that we will see some improved figures going forward on that initiative. The network renewal is well underway. In Norway, we anticipate that we estimate that we have reached around 5% of the network renewal at this stage. We haven't come to the peak speed here, but in 1 year's time, we expect this to be fully completed. The OPEX focus will continue. The operational excellence initiatives that we've set in all three markets will be ongoing activities for the Telenor entities in the Nordic region, as we did under the downsizing initiative in Denmark previously this quarter. I started by mentioning the 10 billion cash flow target, and I also will close with that. Despite the slightly higher load on capex figures coming from the network source, the overall ambition is to maintain the 10 billion cash flow target in the Nordic region. Let me then also add some comments on the broadcast activities. And as you can see from the figures here, there is also a nice set of figures coming from this activity in this quarter. Once again, it's a good performance, as it was in second quarter, really. There's a 4% organic revenue growth, and this is driven really by 12% ARPU growth, in particular associated with cable TV activities. And here, the number one driver is internet connectivity. In the DTH, in the satellite business, we do maintain a market share in rough terms of 59% in the three in the Nordic region, because here Finland also is included. Moving then outside Scandinavia, Central and Eastern Europe, this is still the toughest region for us, but we do see some new trends, in particular in Serbia and also in Montenegro. However, Hungary being the most challenging market. In Montenegro, to start with the smallest one, we see some very interesting results after the network swap. We do get an operational efficiency into that operation, which seems to be very interesting, knowing that we are doing the same type of activities in the rest of the operations in Europe in the period to come. In Serbia, we do experience a 14% growth figure this quarter, half of it associated to handset sales and half of it associated to traffic increase. So this seems to be a new drive in the Serbian economy in this period. In Hungary, though, the minus 5% reported figure is then coming from a very depressed market for the time being. And it doesn't help either that the government there has been forced to look to the telecom sector to increase taxation. As you might know, there is an initiative to install a 6.5% excise tax for telecoms for 3 years, under the anticipation to dig into the telecoms market and retrieve roughly 1 billion Norwegian kroner per year in these 3 years, out of which Telenor Hungary will have to take roughly one third. We are, of course, very critical to such a taxation coming in, even with retroactive effects, since this is assumed to be covered also for 2010, despite being initiated towards this end of the year. And I also we also notice that EU, in that perspective, will address the methodology used, and we are looking forward with interest how that conclusion might land. More optimistic then in Asia. There are very strong growth figures in all four established markets for the Telenor operations in this quarter. And as you have seen, the three entities reporting before we as a group report here today, we have significant growth figures in all three markets, in all four markets, accumulated 13% growth all in all for the four established operations. There are 2.2 million new subscribers in Bangladesh alone, and from this and from the SIM tax subsidies, of course, this has an effect on the margin. But despite this, the margin level for Grameenphone is above 50%. In Thailand and Malaysia, there is a good response to the smartphones, as we've seen it here in Scandinavia, despite the fact that in Thailand, for example, the 3G process collapsed only some few weeks ago. I will argue that the Thai market basically is ready for 3G. The market responds to internet access through smartphones and lighter handsets is for sure as promising in that market as it is in others. So we do look forward to that the authorities in Thailand can come back to the 3G issue and get that resolved. In Pakistan, though, we also see some interesting effects this quarter. We had anticipated that the flood accident some months ago might hurt the economy in to a certain extent also through the remainder of this year. But so seems not to be the case, at least not for the figures that Telenor Pakistan has been able to produce throughout this quarter. There is a 15% growth figure for Pakistan, which we consider as being very strong, and it's done at a 30% margin. So overall, the four of established operations in Asia performed very well through this quarter, as they did in last quarter. If we then take a look at India, we have some promising figures coming out of India this quarter. But really, this is absolutely at par with what we demonstrated at the Capital Markets Day only some few weeks back. The sales and marketing activities of Uninor works very well, has done so, and after we revitalized it in second quarter. And with the two consecutive months of very strong customer acquisition figures in September and October, sorry, in August and September, we do we are able to add as much as 4 million new subscribers. And at the same time, we can notice that the average revenue per user basically has increased 8%. So there are some promising signs there. We're working well in the distribution. There are some circles still that needs to improve and come at and reach the level that other circles have performed at. And Mr. Brekke and his team works extensively and very hard on that specific challenge. We know that the competitive situation in India is as strong as before, but we also have to recognize that we have been the second among the operators when it comes to customer acquisition in this period, without diluting ARPU, and that is, on the contrary, improving ARPU, which is sort of one of those cornerstones that needs to be part of the picture going forward from here. We do stick to the business plan profile of the Uninor project in the same way as we did in Capital Markets Day. There are improvements from 2010 in our figures today, but we consider this more of a timing issue between 2010 and 2011. Then to conclude before Richard takes the stage, we consider the second quarter 2010 to be a strong quarter for Telenor. The growth dimensions in Asia, we have managed to take our fair share with a small plus in several of the markets, and we do like that, and we urge our management to continue along that route. But there is also a push for utilizing the scale of the Telenor Group, to utilize the competences across the operations, and to reach new operational excellence levels going forward. There are always new things that can be done. There are always new efficiencies to be achieved, and the competition also moves ahead, which indicates that also we need to move. The modernization programs as to the swaps around in our operations, we are energized by the effects we see in Montenegro, and we will use that as sort of the benchmark we can get into our other operations. And of course, move further in India, do the courses build up the way we're executing for the time being, along with the capital discipline element that we have demonstrated throughout this process. Capture growth when growth is there, is the number one prerequisite for all our operations, and we do urge them to continue the good path that they are at. With those words, I think I'll leave the floor to Richard, who will take us through the financials. Richard?
Thank you, Fredrik. I will then just brief over from Fredrik into the more detailed numbers by saying that financially this has been a very strong quarter. We have maintained the revenue growth from the second quarter at 6%, and at the same time we have been able to have good cost performance and good quality in our CapEx program. And we're then delivering record margins and record cash flow if you look at the underlying business performance. So those are also the headlights from a financial point of view. Going into the higher level figures, we deliver a 33% EBITDA margin. And India affects the margin of about 5%. So the underlying performance of the established operation is around 38% margin. On the cash flow, we deliver 23%, and here India is contributing around 6%. So the cash flow margin now on the underlying operation starts to approach 30% in this quarter. The debt is further reduced. We, as Fredrik said, we have reduced debt by 5.6 billion, but bear in mind that we also have invested 1.3 billion in India, and we have purchased Telenor shares for 1.4 billion in the quarter. But at the same time, we also deconsolidated the EDB, which has an effect of 3 billion. So underlying cash flow is very strong. I'll come back to the details on that. On the share buyback program, we are 64% through, and the target is to have this completed by year end. And we have revised outlook, which I will go more into detail. Then, splitting up the revenues development on the various regions, we have revenue increase this quarter of approximately 1.3 billion. And this quarter, the organic revenue and the reported revenue is about the same because strong currency movements in Asia are offset by weak currency movements in Eastern Europe and also in Denmark. But you can see from this slide that it's really the Asian operations that are contributing to the growth. India with 200 million and then 1.6 coming out of Asia. About 600 of those 1.6 is the currency effects. Both the ringgit, Malaysian ringgit, and the Thailand baht have performed very well as currencies year on year. But the remaining 1 billion is coming out of all the organic growth. And the strong performance are all the four established operations, but I would say that the largest operations, Digi and DTAC, contributes the most. Then on the Nordic side, we see a small decline in revenue, and that goes back to the fact that this quarter, the mobile growth in Norway has not been able to offset the fixed decline. And it's also an effect that the Danish krone, which is more or less linked to the euro, has also declined. And that explains a fair part of this 240. Then on the CE, that's all explained by currency. The underlying performance now in the CE was a strong performance in Serbia and a more flattening out in the other operations, still negative in Hungary. We have a small underlying organic growth in the CE. And then broadcast is also showing growth based on higher ARPU. Moving on then to the change in the EBITDA, we see here a 32% EBITDA margin compared to 36% EBITDA margin this quarter. But in this quarter, India was not in operation yet, and we see the effect here, about 1 billion kroner in EBITDA effect coming in this quarter. And adjusting for that, we've been at 38% EBITDA margin. So we see that coming from an EBITDA of 8.2 billion, going down to around 7.9, and India taking out approximately 1 billion, we're able to compensate approximately 700 million from the other operations. And it's really Asia that is the strong contributor to that improvement. And of those 800, it's DTAC, it contributes about 400, and Digi about 250, and then Pakistan about 100, which is quite amazing given the flooding that has occurred in Pakistan. The Nordics is the same effect as on the revenues, but we also have increased marketing expenditures in Sweden. We're investing heavily in the Swedish market, and we have some one-off effects in Denmark. CE, actually the underlying performance on EBITDA is an improvement. But also there the currencies on the Serbian dinars and the Hungarian forints have been so negative that we have an EBITDA decline in CE in measured in Norwegian kroner. Then we have broadcast, which has a record quarter when it comes to the EBITDA. Then on the CapEx side, we're also delivering very strong CapEx figures this quarter, 10% CapEx to sales. And if you compare that with the third quarter 2009, it was at 19%. But then we have to bear in mind that we have spent 1.9 billion less capex in India this quarter than the other quarter. This was the heavy ramp-up phase of our Indian operation. Adjusting for the difference in capex in India, we would have been at approximately 11-12% here and approximately 9% here. So we've been able to take out also a couple of percentage points in CapEx to sales in the other operations in this quarter. And this is especially impressive when it comes to the Asian operation, when you saw the underlying growth of 13% in operations excluding India. They've actually been able to reduce the CapEx by 110 million. Nordics, we're in the middle of the network swap, and we see that CapEx is coming up a little bit on that, but also there, a fairly flat CapEx development. CE, somewhat lower CapEx. And then we have some lower CapEx in broadcast, and also some special effects due to some software licenses on group that has been charged out to the units. Having said that, I would say that if you look at fourth quarter, traditionally it's a higher CapEx quarter, and that will also be a higher CapEx quarter this year. Then this translates then into the cash flow, which we measure then as EBITDA less CapEx, and we have 23% cash flow margin this quarter compared to 17% in third quarter 2009, and correcting, looking at the underlying, excluding our greenfield in India, we'll have been at 29% this quarter. And if we break the cash flow up in the various regions, we see that the Nordic is still maintaining a 10 billion rolling 12-month cash flow. Eastern Europe still maintaining, despite the macroeconomic situation, around 3 billion underlying cash flow. And adjusted for currency, it would have actually been much stronger because the operations there have been very good at reducing CapEx and taking out costs. Asia, you see the gray bar is the four established operations. More or less double the cash flow in 1 year. And then we see the effect of India on the blue bar. And here now it's turnaround, including India. We have now an increased 12-month rolling cash flow around 3 billion. And the underlying cash flow is 9.3 million. And internally, we challenge ourselves a little bit between these two numbers, 10.1, 9.3. It may be not too far into the future before this number is higher than this number. Then explain a little bit more on the income statement. I think we have covered the difference in revenues and EBITDA. Noteworthy on the depreciations. Last year we depreciated about 3.6 billion. Now we depreciate about 4 billion. Two effects coming into that. That's depreciation on Uninor. And it's accelerated depreciation in the Nordic due to the network swap. That is the main explanation why the depreciations are increasing. Then we have a quite negative effect coming from associated, and that is related to VimpelCom. Bear in mind that these figures are related to three quarters in 2009. Well, these here were lagging 1 quarter, so it's not directly comparable, and you can have some seasonal effects. But the big difference is really due to currency, changes in the ruble towards Western currencies that is linked into the debt composition of VimpelCom. That explains about 600 million of the change from 1.864 to 1,049 million. Net financials are going down. There are some pluses and minuses there, but the big picture is that it's related to the lower debt level in Telenor. Then on the tax side, we also have a special effect this quarter, and that is that we have got a reassessment from the tax authorities related to the total return swap on our VimpelCom shares. And we have then been taxed an additional 814 million. We are contesting this as we strongly disagree with the tax authorities, but the way the tax system is in Norway is that we have to pay the tax, and then we have also accrued for the tax. So if you look at the profit from our continuing operation, it's dropping, and it's mainly related to the currency's effects in VimpelCom and the tax, and the effects we have explained already. Then going through the debt, we have now the second quarter, the debt increased somewhat due to the payment of dividends. We have now been able to take down debt below 20 billion this quarter, and the explanations are here, starting at 25.5 and ending at 19.8. We have an EBITDA of 7.7, Then we have paid interest of about 500 million. We have paid income taxes of 800 million, and that's all in Asia. We have now come into solid tax positions in Asia. Paid capex is 2.9, and if you recall, the accrued capex is about 2.4. The difference there is related to Uninor, that the payment of the capex come later in than we have accrued. Dividend paid is related to minorities in Digi, paid out dividend. And then the big effect this quarter is that we have deconsolidated EDD. That has been a part of the group figures, but the transaction with Ergo was completed late third quarter, and therefore it has been deconsolidated and will now be accounted in the future as by the equity method. And the debt in EDB was around 3 billion, and that has now been deconsolidated from our figures. Then we spent 1.4 billion in procurement of Telenor treasury shares in accordance with the program we have laid out. Then we have some working capital effects, that we have the revenue share in DTAC, where we have to set aside the money for that, but it's not paid to the government in Thailand yet. And then we have some other working capital effects, some improvements in the working capital. So then the net change is about 5.7. Then moving on to the funding of India, but before we go into that, the outlook for India now, what we said after the second quarter is that we would expect an EBITDA loss between 4.5 and 5 billion. We know the guiding now is around 4.5, so it's slightly down on the EBITDA. And we expected to spend capex of around 2 to 2.5 billion. Now we're revising it down by half a billion to 1.5 to 2 billion for the rest of this year. So if you use the midpoints there, it's actually a downward revision of about 750 million NOK for India. We're following this very tightly, and as we've said before, it's in the circles where we're now performing well, it's a matter of giving more throttle, and in the circles that are still struggling, we need to change the procedures, and I've also initiated further management changes in the circles, and when this is up and running, we'll give more throttle there. So, like Fredrik said, some of this is really a timing effect going into next year. But we've also been able to take out costs in our business processes, but we have said that we will still maintain that the targeted peak funding should be below 155 billion. The long-term financing of Uninor is still in progress. There's nothing really new to report there. Other than that, we're working on it. Then, on the outlook for the total group, including India, last quarter we guided at 3 to 5% organic revenue growth. We're now guiding at around 5%. The effect of EDB is not so big on the revenue side. On the EBITDA margin, though, we had a 28% guiding last time, and now we guide at 30 to 31%. And the effect of EDB, as EDB has a quite much lower margin than the rest of Telenor, is about 1%, 1.7 percentage points. If you add that back on the 28, you would have been at 29.7. And we're now guiding at 30 to 31. And obviously, we shoot for the higher numbers, but there are some uncertainties like this telecom tax in Hungary. So it's a clearly improved guiding on the EBITDA margin. Also on the capex to sale, it's an improvement. EDB goes the other way because EDB spend less capex per NOK in revenue than the rest of Telenor. There it goes the other way by 0.6 percentage points, so that will actually have taken this to 12.6 to 13.6, and we now guide around 12%. So it's a clear downward revision on capex to sales coming out from the low capex in the third quarter. But again, bear in mind that Q4 will be higher. Then ending off this presentation with the financial priorities, also this is also a recap from earlier presentations and the Capital Markets Day. Starting with the shareholder remuneration, as I said, the combination of dividend and share buybacks will take the shareholder remuneration both in absolute and nominal or relative terms this year to a record level for Telenor. So I think we will deliver on this in 2010. The balance sheet is quite solid. We have set out this cap of 1.6 net debt to EBITDA. As you saw from the numbers now, we're at 0.7. So I think we can tick off these two. Disciplined and selective M&A. We will look at opportunities within our regions, and we will calculate on opportunities within our regions, but we will do it in a very disciplined way. And I think it's all we can say on this matter now. And then, finally, what we laid out in the Capital Markets Day, we will deliver on our operational excellence ambitions. And here you see, I'd like to end the presentations with these metrics that we laid out on the Capital Markets Day and give you an update on where we are. Last year, we had OPEX to sales of around 39%. We set the target that in 2013, we should be below 35%. So far this year, but this is last 12 months then, counting Q4, 2009, and first three quarters this year, we are at 37%. We're on our way. CapEx to sales, same methodology there. 13% last year, less than 10% in 2013. On this reporting basis, we are at 12%. We're also well underway of reaching our targets there. And this, like Fredrik says, the key priority going forward on delivering on operational excellence. Thank you.
Thank you, Richard. And we're now ready to take your questions. So Mr. Bakso and Richard as well, could you please re-enter the podium? Before you ask your questions, please wait for the microphone to be sent over. One question here, please. And also, please state your name and company.
Hi, this is Desmond Torgerson at Carnegie. I have two questions. The first relating to the somewhat increased competition in Norway. My question relates to the increased interconnect rates that will apply from next year. Do you see any competitive effects from that, i.e., people being more aggressive ahead of the reductions? And the second question relates more to the regulatory situation in India, if you could give us an update on that and how, if you see any effect to your business case based on the proposals that are being reviewed as we speak.
Yeah, let me then start on Norway. I think that any asymmetrical regime in the interconnection rates will kill competition in the direction of the players that have a benefit from an asymmetrical situation. And this is nothing new in Norway. We've had this for quite some years, and the regulations have now change this advantage into with the ambition of creating a platform for the third network to be established. And the players behind the third network will in that sense have an advantage in their overall resource spending. Combining the OPEX side up against the investment side. So asymmetrical regime will lead to price competition, not necessarily as been said during the motivation for maintaining the asymmetrical, that this will increase communication capabilities in the District of Norway. This will lead to price competition. And it has, we have seen those effects before, and we will see them going forward. And Telenor and the other operators in Norway that don't have this advantage will have to repackage and take that into their consideration, as we are doing when we now are revising our service offering in the corporate segment. So So there will be competitive effects, and we will have to adjust accordingly and be competitive to maintain our market share, and that is our ultimate goal, to maintain the position, to modernize networks, and to achieve a more efficient cost level going forward. In India, there is nothing new on the suggestion as such. There is a suggestion which are highly negative to the telecom market in general. We do anticipate that the ultimate decision when this will be done will not be along with the suggestion. But what kind of adjustments there might be, that's not for me to speculate upon right now. But with retrospective effects on regulations, we are of course very negative to that, as others will be, as there also are elements of that in the EU suggestion. So we will follow this, and we will discuss with industry players in India, as well as with the government and the regulator, who is going to sort of ultimately decide this.
Okay, and we have a question over there, please. Could you please raise your arm?
There you go.
Thank you. Ole, first security. A couple of questions on India. Firstly, based on what you now see in the market and the developments in Uninor, do you see the 4 million subscriber intake as reported in Q3 as a sustainable level for upcoming quarters? Number two, how do you view the quality of the subscribers which you have picked up in India during the quarter? Is there a chance that we may see another dip in the ARPU, or will we continue to see gradual improvements in the upcoming quarters? And thirdly, just a clarification, was it so that the reduced CapEx guidance for India in 2010 is merely a timing effect, so that we will see the remaining CapEx in upcoming years?
Let me then begin on the subscriber question that you had. Of course, we would like both to see Uninor successfully acquire 4 million customers every quarter, and we also want to see a steady rise in ARPU. That is, of course, what we're working for. But the world is not linear, meaning that others will probably also do things in the Indian market differently from what they have done before. But what's good to notice is that in a quarter where we have been able to acquire as much as 4 million subscribers, we have also been able to bring ARPU up. And that leads us to believe that our service offering has a level of sustainability in itself over at least that short period. But knowing also that this is a prepaid market, and there might be shifts of service offering with sudden effects from other operators, we are cautious to say that we are on the line of trend. But this is also a bit of what the management in India needs to address, to keep the service offering in a dynamic move, such, in such a way that you are that you're forward-looking, basically up against what comes around the corner from competitors. And if you manage to tune that, we should anticipate that Uninor really could at least continue a bit of this trend that we're in. But we don't consider it as a straight liner event to go forward here. The quality though, the quality of subscribers, any subscriber that leaves behind above average is good customers for us in any network. And from that, we've seen that we've moved the average revenue per user up, and it's a good sign. And of course, we want to further stimulate those effects that have led to that going forward. As to the CapEx, you may fill in that, Richard.
Yes, I think you have to base your calculation that it's more or less a deferral. Having said that, we're now moving probably the best CTO we have in the company to India, Mr. Yogesh Malik, to really manage the technology side and also the CapEx program. So certainly we have goals to do this even more efficient than in the past. But I think from a planning perspective, we need to spend more CapEx in India as we have deferred some in the circles that have not been performed.
Okay, another question here, please.
Hi, Arvind Nysæter, Fondsfinans. Just one more question on India. You had a capital market there only a few weeks ago, and you gave some estimates then for Q3, and you seem to beat those quite substantially on subscriber acquisition, and you're revising outlook, and you're moving your best man to India to get some further efficiency. Yet you say that your business case remains unchanged. Even if you won't put any numbers on it, would you say that, say, in the last few months, things look improved in India compared to what they did before? And then just another observation. In fixed line in Norway, you say revenue decline is on a steady path, about 4% down. And then you see broadcast, which is increasing significantly this quarter, and you say that's much to do with the internet connections. So functionally, that you could look at on that as sort of a fixed line kind of product, just as you're using the coax network to provide the service, and as such it ends up with broadcast. Have you sort of thought about how, if you looked at this combined, and sort of looked at the overall trends in the fixed kind of business as opposed to sort of a TV kind of business in the rest of broadcast?
Yeah, India, again, I've been looking more positively, and of course we're seeing this as a good performance under the circumstances that we were in after the first and second quarter. So we have improved quite a lot, and we have to do that. We have to really get our hands around sales and marketing activities, and we have succeeded in doing that very well in some circles. We have some circles that are at average, and we do have some circles that still need to improve substantially and learn from the others. So we're happy to say that we are seeing another development trend, but we're not discounting that to be sort of a steady liner development. However, the price level in India has not got another hit since the autumn 2008, really. So in a way, and with the 3G auction in place, other operators getting more leveraged because of other activities as well, one could also think that the price level in the longer perspective needs to be revised upwards rather than downwards. But this is a speculation. We are there now, and we need to be competitive now and at every point in time when people are in the streets buying their communication. And that's what counts in this space. As for Norway, the mix then on the internet side, on the coax cable and DSL, it's an interesting equation that Ragnar and his people, together with the guys in cable and coax, are discussing as well. Because the different technologies have different capabilities, and the coax cable has capacities which are above the present service offering from DSL. But when we are renewing and modernizing also the DSL structure, seeing the DSL functionality coming more clearly through as a service offering, then all cable connections in Norway will have pretty high speeds. And as you know, the geography is so that cable TV is sort of taking care of one specific part of the geography and DSL is taking care of the rest. So there is some interesting work to sort of optimize that in the longer term perspective. But for the time being, the coax cable is grabbing internet market share. And DSL is to a certain extent suffering from that. But that doesn't mean that DSL basically will leave the market, because DSL is then available where coax is not available.
Any further questions from the audience present? Before we open up questions from the ones participating on the phone, I'd just like to add that we will have to answer your questions that you've sent in via the internet individually after this presentation. We're running short on time here. And also we see that there are a lot of questions coming on from the ones participating on the phone. So I will have to ask you also to please limit the number of questions. And we'll have the first question now, please.
Next, Loris is John. Citigroup, go ahead, please.
The few questions I can. On Norway Mobile, your growth fell from 5 to 2% and Telia saw an improvement to positive growth. I just want to say, is this mainly because Telenor has a higher exposure to roaming in the corporate segment, or something else going on here? And then secondly, more generally about the Norwegian market. What would you say is the key difference between Norway and the other Nordic markets? And is it because Norway is seeing slightly higher voice declines, or is it seeing slightly lower mobile data take up relative, in particular, to Sweden? That'd be great. Thanks.
Yeah, I have to guess a little bit on what the type of direction your question took, really. But as for mobile in Norway, we've seen a compared to third quarter last year, we saw a lower volume on roaming international roaming revenues. At the same time, as we are experiencing a general price pressure in the corporate segment, in particular for this quarter. And that has not been fully compensated by the growth in data revenues, as it happened to show in the second quarter this year. So the growth factor for mobile being 2 percentage points overall is actually quite a strong figure, given a very mature market. But compared to second quarter of this year, the growth was not as strong as it was in that period. There is no peculiar mechanisms on the international roaming in the corporate segment in Norway, the way I see it, at least.
Do you have a view versus Sweden?
Yeah, the principles of international roaming in Norway and Sweden are pretty much the same.
Okay, next question, please.
Next, Maurice Patrick, Barclays Capital. Go ahead, please.
Hi, it's Maurice from Barclays. A couple of quick questions. In India, you talked at the Capital Markets Day about the battle for the pound resin. Given the ARPU increase that you've seen in the quarter, as well as the strong net adds, could you give some colour in terms of the amount of the ARPU that's coming from high interconnect, are you winning in that battle to make those customers the primary SIM rather than SIM? The second question, you talk about being energised by the network swap. Can you talk about why that's the case? Is it cost? Is it functionality? You've announced ZT in Hungary, Serbia, Huawei, you've done Montenegro. So are there any lessons learned or any sort of colour on that you can give? Thank you.
Yeah, Are we winning the battle in India? I don't think the jury is pulled out on that question as of yet. But I think we can say that in this period, we have been able to establish a position of primary SIM. But bear in mind, such a position is not necessarily easy to sustain over time, because the switch, the cost of switching here is very small from a customer's perspective in India. So we're cautious to say that we have won that bottle, that battle. Then, energized by what we see in Montenegro, what we are seeing is that the specifications that the project in Montenegro on modernization of network has is basically delivering what they were supposed to do, namely that of a more efficient network, and also a network that can take the transitions from 3G and further into 4G pretty seamlessly when that is due to happen. So without going into metrics around that, I think there will be ample opportunities to do that later on. But we as a group are, as I said, energized from that, and we're trying to get as good results as we see from Montenegro in the upcoming swaps that we're going to do in other markets.
Great, thank you.
Next, Andrew Lee, Goldman Sachs. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, good morning. A couple of questions on your Nordic businesses again. Firstly, in Norway, how much more cost flexibility do you feel you have to offset some of the pricing pressure, given we've already seen the effects of a significant cost-cutting regime through 2008 and 2009? And in terms of the tariff refreshes you mentioned in that market, is that basically you just cutting prices in the face of more price competition, or is there something more subtle you're doing here? And then secondly, in Sweden, you appear to have been going after market share with high marketing costs and with an aggressive triple play price in the third quarter. Should we expect the EBITDA to swing back in the fourth quarter as we see the benefits of share take, or do you expect to continue to drive the market share at the expense of margin in Sweden into 2011? Thank you.
Very good.
I think on your first question on cost flexibility, not only in the Nordics, but in the entire group, we're continuously working on that, and we're doing both internal and external benchmarks, and we're really putting more steam behind the operational excellence program. So I think we should say yes to your question, and that's also what we have reflected in the targets going forward of delivering cash flow targets of 10% to sales and OPEX of less than 35%. You want to take the Swedish question, Fredrik?
Well, if you don't, then I have to.
Yeah.
In Sweden, Sweden is the market in Europe that we that really competes in the heaviest way on capacity delivered to customers. It's always been like that, both for fixed and mobile. So the capacity competition associated with price is very much prevailing. I think every operator needs to find the balance between the pricing proposition and the cost structure. And we are looking over that equation because the we are of the fundamental belief that the all-you-can-eat principle on pricing is not sustainable over too long periods of time. So that the competitive elements will look different from period to period in the different markets, and Sweden, as no exception, is part of the game on running the competition in that specific country.
Thank you.
Next, Laurent Sugarman, ING. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, a couple of questions, if I could. Firstly, just on VimpelCom, there's been some clear indications that you are supportive of the transaction that has been proposed, and subsequently there's been a number of details that have been released in terms, particularly around Algeria, and you've made some comments about potential strategy in that respect. I just wonder if you could give us an update on your thinking on that. And then just with respect to the broadcast division, it's obviously a strong quarter, driven both by, as I understand it, increasing prices and also a reduction in marketing expenses. Do you see going forward an ability to hold sort of the similar market share, or do you think there will be more competition going forward as a result of your strategy?
Yeah. As for Wintercom, I think that what has been said has been said, and there is basically nothing new to report from a shareholder perspective on this occasion. Management is working on the activities associated with the deal, addressing those questions that that eventually might lead to that the board will take a final address, the final proposition, and do their evaluations based upon that. So I think we have to wait and see what are going to be produced from the management perspective on the details that were unclear at the point in time when the press release was launched, referring and also seeing the press release referring to these outstanding matters. On broadcast, can this operational status that we see in broadcast now be sustainable? Broadcast has proved to maintain market share in DTH in the Nordic region very strongly over many years, has been the market leader, and still is with a 59% market share on DTH alone. But as you know, the telecommunication market is changing, and other technologies are being brought forward. And the interesting question longer term is how will user habits develop when it comes to television consumption. And here, the Telenor Group is we're well positioned in the Nordic with our various platforms. And of course, we'll want to participate in that competition going forward as well. So we don't see that we should be specifically weakened in our service offering in the television field, depending on what kind of development trends both technology and viewers' habits will be.
Thank you.
Next, Jacob Bluestone, Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Go ahead, please.
Hi there. I've got two questions, please. Firstly, on India, you've obviously referred to delays in terms of rollout. And obviously, this isn't the first time we've had a delay. But at the same time, you also said you haven't changed the overall guidance for sort of peak funding. I just wanted to understand, have you changed the dates at which you reach the different break-evens, so break-even for EBITDA and break-even for cash flow? Secondly, just on EDB, it's obviously gone from being, it will be an associate from next quarter. Would you describe this as a non-core business now?
Yeah, I think your first question first, India. Our guiding targets for India are exactly the same. It's a huge project, many uncertainties, and I think at this point in time we have got some confirmation that things are heading in the right direction, but there is no grounds for kind of revising the overall targets for India based on one quarter. When it comes to EDB, we think that the merger with Ergo is vital in order to create a unit that can compete in a highly competitive market. And that has been kind of the overriding factor for us supporting this transaction and diluting our control in EDB to create a stronger group being able to compete in the market. There's no real change in the ownership strategy, but it's an action to enable EDB to perform better in the future.
Thank you.
Next, Will Milner, Areta Research. Go ahead, please.
Thanks very much. My first question, just on Norwegian fixed line. It does look like both telephony and ADSL revenue trends have worsened sequentially, leaving revenue, retail revenue falling 8% year over year. I just wonder if you could talk through a bit, in a bit more detail, the reasons for those deteriorating trends, and also what is driving the higher wholesale revenues that are sort of helping to offset the worst retail trends. And then second question is on India. I just wonder if I can be reasonably direct. Are you more inclined to focus your investments on the most promising circles given the results you've seen this year, assuming and if regulatory conditions allow at a later stage? Thanks.
Can you repeat, are you more inclined to what?
Are you more inclined to focus the investments that you're making on the most promising circles, so a smaller number of circles?
Well, really, the fixed line trend isn't, we don't see that as deteriorating specifically compared to what we've seen before. There is a, sort of 5-year change here where voice communication is moving from the fixed line to the mobile. That's a fundamental underlying driver. And as a consequence of that, those fixed lines that basically are there only for voice telephony will gradually be considered obsolete. But for those lines that are being maintained as DSL lines and internet access through the fixed system, then the likelihood of people getting rid of the voice connection is much less than those that are not doing that. And of course, there are different segments out there behaving differently. So, and what we have proved in this transition is to maintain the overall profitability in the communication market in Norway. We have maintained to address the cost structure gradually with new technologies, and we have maintained market shares at retail level in broad terms in this transition. So basically, I think there has been done quite some good work, both on cost structures and taking this transition and make the market trends a bit of ours, so also driving a bit of that market trend, of course. As to the wholesale part of it, since the wholesale revenues both cover other operators using our DSL structure to customer service offerings, as well as mobile operators using us for transportation usage, then you of course see the drivers also behind the wholesale revenues in the fixed line. On India, we have already focused to specific circles. We have now compared to where we started, we have concentrated our efforts in circles that we felt that we could get a foothold. We have not changed the overall package as a result of that, but we won't get go full blast in as many circles as we originally thought of when we started back in 2009.
Okay, thank you.
Next, Ulrich Lotte, Societe Generale. Go ahead, please.
Well, thank you. Three, hopefully very short questions. And coming back to this issue of the mobile business market in Norway, could you help us sort of understand what's going on there by sort of maybe giving an indication how much the impact of the roaming regulation war, so that we can sort of split apart the trends there between what's happening in the business market and the roaming. That was my first question. Second question, with regards to Hungary, I know it's sort of early days and it's not even certain what exactly is going to happen, I think, but what do you think is the industry sort of temperature vis-a-vis handing on the tax increases compared to just sort of absorbing it through lower EBITDA margin as you seem to have guided when you talked about your full year margin guidance. And my last question, with regards to Montenegro, it has been asked before, but I was just wondering whether you can give us some specific sort of points where the efficiency is higher and what way. I mean, if you want to play devil's advocate, you could say a new network should have lower maintenance just because it's new. I mean, where exactly is do you actually see the efficiencies? Thank you.
Do you have a figure off the top of your head, or?
No, I think we on the first question on the mobile business. What we state is that there are really two effects this quarter that slows down the growth on the mobile, and that is the roaming effect, and it's a weaker performance in the business segment. You want to
in Hungary, it would of course be very easy to say that this is something that the market will have to take. I think there will be a combination. The combination will probably arise from the fact that this tax is pretty substantial, but on the other side, the elasticity on pricing in the mobile area is also something that operators are concerned about. So here, the volume factor and the price factor needs to be put on the weight together and see what kind of combination that there could be. Then on the network efficiency, the most important component is that the pricing structure between us and an operator and the suppliers here is that on software upgrades. And the cost structure here is in such a way that the operators, or we as an operator, is not in the same way exposed to solely the vendor's way of thinking when it comes to software upgrades going forward. There is it's a higher degree of efficiency on that element in particular.
Thank you.
Next, Sumit Datta, News Street Research. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, hi, good morning. Just a couple of questions on Asia, please. First of all, Bangladesh, there seems to be a slightly better mix of growth and profitability. You're adding about 2 million subs in the quarter and adjusting for the one-off, doing around about 50% EBITDA margin. Is that kind of dynamic, do you think, sustainable going forward, subject to how you kind of view and subsidize the SIM tax? And then secondly, just going back to India, I just wondered, are there any signs in any of the circles you operate in that competitors are lifting promotions and effectively increasing the effective yield per minute? Thanks very much.
In Bangladesh, remember that Bangladesh is in the most interesting phase of the S-curve as such. Being at the penetration level among population around 30 to 35%, we are at the strongest growth path of the S curve. So, and what we know from other markets is that the growth then happens in steps, because when new segments are coming in, starting to use mobile telephony, then this segment becomes regular users, and then a new segment comes. So in a way, we've seen that this growth comes in steps. And Pakistan is our most recent example of that. So I think we will see quarters with strong subscriber growth, and we might see quarters with a not so strong subscriber growth. And this is, of course, also has to do with the willingness from the operator community to work on to subsidy the SIM tax. In other words, there is no sort of exact answer to your question. As for India, do we see specific indications? I don't think we can say that. This is a hectic, competitive environment. It has different formats in the various circles. Competition to that is different from one city to another city. So it's a very hectic marketplace that every operator needs to address locally in order to get the customer acquisition machinery to work to their advantage.
Okay, thank you.
Next, Barry Zaytuna, Berenberg. Go ahead, please.
Hi, good morning. It's Barry Zaytuna from Berenberg here. A lot of my questions have already been answered, but two that I'd like to focus on. In your guidance in Q2, when you mentioned shareholder remuneration, you used the word ambition rather than commitment to offer a competitive yield. I'm wanting to know whether M&A could anyway hinder that ambition, or do you view it as more of a commitment? And my second question is, with Hungary and the tax that's coming in, if I understand right, it's from 2010, so should we expect a one-off hit in Q4 of this year, and will there also be a cash impact in Q4 of this year? Thank you.
Well, on the tax in Hungary, I think it's still early days, and I think the principle of retroactive taxation is not a principle that we subscribe to. So we have to look into the argumentation and the details behind this proposal, and we also note that the EU also looks into this as a principle of sector-specific taxation. It's not a well established system in the EU. In fact, very strong on that sector taxes is not a good idea, that it should be sector neutral to allocate capital in the most efficient way within the EU. So I think there are some arguments here that will be looked into, but the way it's formulated now, there's a clear risk that this, if it stands like it is, that it will hit our P&L in 2010 as OPEX, because it's not a tax on profits, it's really a tax on the revenue. So it's a risk that it will be a one-off hit, and that's why we have tried to cater for that in our guiding. When it comes to the shareholder remuneration, I think management of Telenor can never give a commitment on the remuneration, as that is promises that resides higher up in the hierarchy with the board and the shareholders. But what we have said is that there is a clear ambition to have a competitive shareholder remuneration, and we're delivering on this this year, and it's a clear ambition on delivering that next year as well, but it has to be discussed with the board and ultimately with the shareholders at the general meeting in May next year.
Thank you very much.
Next, Stefan Goffin, Nordea Markets. Go ahead, please.
Yes, hello. Most of my questions have also been answered. However, I have a couple of questions left. First of all, this is sort of a detailed question. You report pretty good numbers in other business units, and I just wonder what causes sort of this positive change in this number. What is included in that and what is behind it? Secondly, you say that you are pushing CapEx in India into the future. You also report pretty low CapEx levels in other countries. And would you say that in general there is some CapEx investment pushed into 2011? And if so, what is behind this? And thirdly, I just want to come back to the Swedish question earlier, where you answered that there's a competition around capacity in the market. According to my belief, you are the only operator in the Swedish market that offer all-you-can-eat offering on mobile broadband in Sweden. And should we read your answer earlier that you will stop with this promotion? Thank you.
I can start addressing the other businesses. We have some special effects in the other businesses due to the deconsolidation of EDB and the way it's reported this quarter. We are more than happy to take you into the details on that in a separate call. And it's a general lower expense in some of the other businesses. When it comes to the CapEx level in the future, there is no reason to believe that we push out CapEx from 2010 to 2011 as a group. In India, what we have said there is that we will defer CapEx until we have the management and the systems up and running in some of the circles. But on a group scale, it's nothing to that effect, and we stick to the numbers that our CapEx to sales target for 2013 should be below 10%. You want to address the Swedish question, Fredrik?
I have the same answer as I had previously. The all-you-can-eat principle is not sustainable over time. So then I think that's a strong enough answer to that question.
Okay, thank you. Very clear.
Next, James Britton, Nomura. Go ahead, please.
So thanks very much. Firstly, I was wondering if you could give us your perspective on the broadband market in Denmark, and particularly what might be the trigger for a slightly reduced level of competitive pressure on broadband pricing. Secondly, can you give us any financial rather than operational data points which provide some evidence that the mobile data momentum continues to move forward in the Nordics? Perhaps you could just clarify how much data, mobile data, contributed to the Norwegian revenue growth trend in Q3.
I think you've reached a level of detail now that I have to refer a bit of your questions to investor relations. In Denmark, did you refer to mobile broadband or did you refer to fixed broadband?
My question was really regarding the fixed environment.
The fixed environment. I think I still have to send you into the investor relations department for those details of questions.
But I think we can generally say that the trend on mobile data in Q3 this year is as strong as it's been before. It's not any slowdown in the pickup in the mobile data. On the contrary, we see the strong penetration of handphones, and like Fredrik said, more than 60% of handset sales now in Norway are smartphone with the touchscreen. And we had a year-on-year growth on the mobile data of more than 40% also in this quarter. There's no change on the underlying effect there. What has hit us is, again, is a lower revenue on the roaming and weaker performance in the business segment on really on the voice side.
Okay, thanks very much.
Next, Peter Nielsen, Kjellberg. Go ahead, please.
Thank you. Just two questions, let's see. Firstly, on the financial priorities, Richard's comment here, you seem to become much more direct in your comments on M&A. Certainly, certainly in a 12-month horizon. Does looking at opportunities within regions, is that a refer to in-market consolidation, as you've talked about before, or does within regions include, is that the regions in which you operate, and as such may include new markets? And if I may just, I'm sorry, Frederick, but just return to Sweden and Denmark from a different perspective, because there seems to be a material decline in your retail side here. From a CEO perspective, have you made any decisions to slightly pull back from the Swedish and the Danish fixed line broadband markets? Thank you.
Never a quarterly report without Peter on the line. So thank you for that, Peter. On the M&A, I think Richard can elaborate on that. But yes, on broadband based on other infrastructure, we have limited our marketing activities in Sweden and Denmark. We find it hard to be profitable on renting DSL capacities from Telia. Sonera, for example, and to run a DSL offering on that. So the to own your own infrastructure is part of our equation when it comes to go to market in those two in the two markets to which you refer.
Yeah, when it comes to the M&A, of course, in-market consolidation is something that is much easier to calculate on. But having said that, we also have to look at opportunities that comes up in a region. We're not going around and knocking on doors and ask to buy assets. Of course, that's not what we're doing these days. But we have to analyze opportunities that arise. Anything else would be irresponsible and calculate and evaluate the opportunities that come up.
Okay, thank you.
We have one last question then.
Last question, Jan Dworsky from Handelsbanken. Go ahead, please.
Thank you. I had a question in relation to spectrum purchases in 2011. Aside from Sweden, where it's an 800 megahertz auction, do you see any, what else do you see in 2011 in terms of spectrum and possible 3G licensing that will, where you will deploy some cash flow in relation to those payments?
Yeah, are you referring to Asia as well, or?
Yeah, so overall in the group.
Well, that's, in Asia, 3G, both for Thailand, Pakistan, and Bangladesh, has still not been distributed, right? So the possibility of seeing some of those countries coming to the market with 3G is, of course, a possibility. In Central and Eastern Europe, it's more or less done. Here in Scandinavia, there might be an 800 dividend transaction next year. The framework for that has not been set, but it's anticipated that the dividend will come next year. I don't know the timing, exact timing of that. I'm being assisted here by saying first quarter, so maybe that's correct then.
Okay,
thank you. Okay. Okay, and that concludes the session here this morning. Thank you all for joining.
Thank you.
Thank you.